So today, as we look outside, we can see sunset is just about upon us here. What time is it? 6:41, so we have officially 11 minutes. As I was preparing for this service, it's been a really interesting year in a lot of ways. It seems like the years, in particular this side of COVID, have been more and more interesting, or some would say challenging. Some would say tough. And through it all, we keep moving forward. You know, during the COVID time, we were faced with some very unique situations and challenges that led us to, you know, a lot of congregations were shutting down. Some never reopened. Many have reopened, but many of the people are no longer there. The congregations have shrunk. Some have grown because there's been less and less congregations. But Adonai put it on our hearts to start a congregation during COVID, which seemed to be just the worst time to even think about doing anything where you're wanting people to come out and be a part. So we started off in difficult times. And from our standpoint, all we could do was just go up and continue to be pleasing to the Lord. Today, as we come together in this last day of the year, we look at Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. We look at Yom Teruah, the day of trumpets. And there's a few other names for the day. But I want to talk to you for a moment. Let me read this to you. Let me read the why we even come together on this night, this evening. Numbers chapter 29:1 says, in the seventh month of the first day of the month, you are to have a holy convocation. You do not do any kind of ordinary work. It is a day of blowing the shofar for you. This is where we are. In about 8 minutes or so, we'll be at the beginning, the Rosh of the Rosh Hashanah, of the new year. It goes on to say in verse 2, prepare a burnt offering to make a fragrant aroma for Adonai. And it goes on to talk about the offerings that are to be done. And in verse 29:6, it says, this is to be in addition to the burnt offering for Rosh Kodesh, the new moon, with its grain offering. So this is where we get the whole idea of why they even came together and when this even started. But something that's very associated, if you look on Facebook or on the internet, can anybody tell me, other than the shofar, what is the sign or the symbol or what you see regarding Rosh Hashanah Yom Teruah? What do you see? What are the images that you see? What'd you say? You may see candles, yeah, because there's lighting of the candles like a Shabbat. Apples. So you see apples and honey. So later on tonight, we have some apples and honey. We've got an apple, what is it? An apple crisp to enjoy. And the idea behind this, I've been really chewing on today and thinking about. The whole idea. Anybody know why? What's the symbol, the apple and honey? What does it even represent? The sweetness of the new year. It does, yes. We're the apple of his eye. Absolutely, yes. It's connected to creation. It's also, if you look at it like that, the Western mindset is connected to Eve's sin, although she didn't eat an apple. But that's a whole other discussion. But we see an apple and we see honey. What does honey represent? Sweet. A land flowing with milk and honey. So we know they're in the Torah portions. We've got three more, and then they enter into the land when the beginning of Joshua. And we go back to Genesis and start again. But they enter into the land flowing with milk and honey. What an awesome thing that Adonai would have a place for his people that was flowing with milk and honey. Think about that. You think of milk, you think about you have food for your baby. And even the adults have something sweet and enjoyable that they can say, oh, praise God, look what you've given me, something sweet. We've been living out in the desert. And now we get to come into the land flowing with milk and honey. But there's also something associated we see in the New Testament, and I don't have it even in my notes. I'm just considering it right now. Do you remember the story of Yochanan the Immerser, better known as John the Baptist? It said he lived in the desert and he made his meal of what? Locusts and wild honey. I want to focus on the wild honey part. We live in an agricultural area where you can drive down the streets, and oftentimes you find sellers on the side of the road, and what are they selling? Wild honey, but in particular, nice jarred honey, nice and clean and filtered and sweet in different varieties. And you just go there and you give them the money, and then you get you get your honey and you get to just enjoy it. How many of you know that when Yochanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, was around, there was no one selling honey in a nice little jar on the side of the road? Instead, what he had to do, he had to go, it was wild honey and wild bees. And everything in the Middle East, even today, is wild. It's not tame like we are here. We'll watch maybe a little bit of Rabbi Shapira. He's Israeli. He's not as tame as we are. The Middle East, whether Jew or Arab or whatever, is totally different. Not as tame. It's a little more, I'm not sure what word to use. So my question for you is when you have the time comes when Yochanan has to get some food and he goes to the honey. He's been eating grasshoppers, locusts. He's got to collect a lot of those. But he wants something sweet to eat. It's like the honey is his dessert. And he has to go get it. Do any of you think that the bees just said, "Oh, Mr. Yochanan the Immerser, here. Here's a nice little bowl of honey. We were saving it for Winnie the Pooh, but you showed up first, so you get to get it." No. Or can you imagine him going and covering up his face, covering up his hands, and going and have to reach into the hive and break into the hive and pull the honey out? All the while, these wild bees, what do you think they were doing? And what else do you think they were doing? Stinging. When we get to Rosh Hashanah and we see the symbol of the apples and the honey, we're reminded that our year and our lives here on earth, they're not always sweet. We have to go and get stung and deal with the good and the bad in order to get to the place that we can finally enjoy the sweet. Amen. As we end this year and begin the next year, I want to remember that. You want some honey? You want something sweet and good? It's going to require something of you that may not be very pleasant. Scripture tells us, for the joy that was set before him, Messiah endured the cross. For the joy, for the honey that he knew was in the future, if you will, he endured the stinging for the time. So that's why we reach a time like this, a joyous time like this. It's joyous because we've made it through another year and we all have the scars. Look, I got stung right here, but I've got honey right here. And we get to enjoy it together. Amen? Hallelujah. All of us here, just by showing up tonight, we've done something that very few around us right now are doing. You hear the cars going by? How many hundreds or thousands of people have passed by since we started? But we're here tonight, and just by showing up, we've been obedient in participating in fulfilling the mitzvah to assemble yourselves, to hear the sound of the trumpet, to welcome in the new year. Amen. There are many people who talk about doing God's work, but for whatever reason, it's just talking. And I want you to remember that, to look around and see who's with us and recognize, you know what, we made it here tonight. Many of us had a lot of challenges getting here today or this week. A lot, yeah, I can see the head shake, and I know I can shake my head. But we made a decision that the stinging that we had to endure to get here was well worth it to enjoy the honey together. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me skip on down here. But tonight we've come together as one with the house of Israel all over the world, synagogues all over. Other synagogues, Messianic, Conservative, Reformed, Chabad, are meeting tonight. And we join all together as one in the house of Israel tonight to welcome in the new year. 5782 is coming to an end, and have we actually reached it? 652, is it 653? This is the last minute. So when this goes 653, we're going to give the Lord a shout. And I'm even going to pull quickly. It's almost there. Any second now. This is a very long minute. The year is not one. Ah, there we go. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. We've made it to the new year, to the year of 5783. And I want to spend a few moments talking about the years and what does it mean this is a new year? Where do we even see this biblically or within Judaism? Today, as of right now, we've made it to, we just came out of Elul 29, the last day of Elul, and we made it to the first day of Tishrei. And this is the first, what's referred to as Rosh Hashanah for a few different reasons, and I want to go through these reasons with you. There are four new years on the Jewish calendar. The first is Tishrei 1, serves as a new year for several purposes, mainly the new year for the civil calendar, a new year for the seasons. Rosh Hashanah, again, literally means the head of the year. Jewish years are traditionally figured from creation. For example, this year is considered the 5,783rd year since not the creation of the world, but the creation of Adam. With a new year beginning today, Tishrei 1. In Numbers chapter 29:1, you can read about that. This is also considered, it's also considered the new year for measuring the reigns of foreign kings, necessary because legal documents were dated by the current year of the monarch's reign. So when you hear someone say it was the fifth year of King Darius, what's that based on? It's the fifth year past Rosh Hashanah. So when that first Rosh Hashanah came, that was the first year, or the end of the first year, and so on and so forth. It also served as a standard anniversary marking the end of a full year of rule, even if the year had been only a part of a year. So if the king was crowned 3 or 4 days ago, and he made it to today, that would still be counted as his first year. That makes sense? It was also the new year for setting the sabbatical year, during which the land may be cultivated, concerning the Shemitah. In Leviticus 25, 2 through 5, it talks about the land, that the people are supposed to observe a Sabbath of the land, let the land rest every 7 years for a whole year. And after 7 cycles of this, you had the year, the Yovel, the year of Jubilee. Also, let's see here, with Tishrei is, yeah, I've got sabbatical. It's also the new year for figuring the yearly tithe, the Maaser, or 10% tax on vegetables and grains. So those are the big things with the new year, Rosh Hashanah, Tishrei 1. The second new year is Tu Bishvat, which is the new year for what? The trees. So why do the trees need to have a new year? Well, because each year you have to, when you plant a tree, if you plant a tree before the 15th of Shvat, the month of Shvat, then once you get to the 15th of Shvat, it's considered it's already a year old, even if it's only 1 day old. It could be from 1 day to 365 or 364 days. That's the. So what does that mean? Well, that means that you have to wait a certain amount of years before you can collect and eat of the tree. The third Jewish New Year is the first of Nisan, which corresponds to the season of redemption from Egypt and the birth of the Israelite nation. And then the fourth one is Elul, which a lot of people don't know about, the first of Elul 30 days ago, which is, anybody know what it's for? Any guess? It's a little more obscure. It's the new year for tithing of cattle. So if you were if you own cattle, that was when the yearlings turned to that all changed and which cow was eligible for being brought to the temple and that kind of thing. I'm saying all that to say the big one, Rosh Hashanah, is the one where the year actually, the number of the year actually changes. It's the December 31st equivalent, if you will. So as we come into 5783, you already have it on here. Nice. You have both of them on here. As we come into this year, it's a you ever have a joyous and somber occasion all at the same time? We went to my, birth of a child. We went to my niece's wedding a month or so ago, and my brother, it's a very joyous occasion, but he was in tears most of the time. Somber at the same time, but more joyous than, you know. But this is where we are. We're at the new year. And what makes us especially joyous is we are proclaiming the King, Messiah. We're preparing for one day when Messiah will rule and reign from Jerusalem. Amen. And we will actually hear the sound. Give the Lord a hand. We'll hear the sound of the shofars when they inaugurate him. And we'll hear the sound. We're waiting for the great shofar blast. That says what? Messiah's coming. Hallelujah. And I fully believe it'll sound like our shofars, but by better, yeah. But it'll be a sound of a, and the whole world is going to hear that blast. This is what we're here tonight to do, is to commemorate that, anticipate that, and prepare for it. You know, Scripture tells us to, concerning the return of Messiah, to continue to encourage one another with that. Messiah's coming. Things might be bad that you're dealing with, but Messiah's coming. You may not be feeling good today, but Messiah's coming. You may be in pain today, but guess what? Messiah's coming. You may not have a lot of money in your pocket today, but guess what? Messiah's coming. And you may have a lot of money in your pocket, but guess what? Messiah's still coming. Amen? So this is a day to remember the sweetness of Messiah, to remember the year that was, but also, what are we going to do next year? We have a saying in our congregation since we started that we get better 1% a week. It doesn't seem like a whole lot, but when you start trying it, it actually adds up pretty quick. Before you know it, you can feel the weight of what is my 1% this week going to look like. And we haven't always been perfect about executing it, but in our hearts, we want to do 1% a week. As we enter this year, this is the message of Yom Teruah. The King is coming. Are you excited enough to make a decision to, in your heart, say, I'm going to do better next year? Amen. We've come through the month of Elul, the month of Teshuvah, of repenting, of talking to the Father. Do we have on the, can you go back to the front, the first page here? In Judaism, there's an understanding that every year the Jews would come together and basically ask the Father to repent and say, I want my name written in the book for another year. You know, we know through Messiah, unless we just renounce him, our name is written in the book. However, because it's written in the book, we want to serve him, continue to grow in him, continue to get closer to him. Amen? Lashana tova tikatevu ve'et techatemu. May you be inscribed, or your name be inscribed and sealed for a good year. Or you can say, may your name be inscribed in the book of life. May your name not be blotted out. Amen. So we're coming today as Tishrei 1. We start right now what is referred to as the 10 days of awe. As we look to God, we're just in awe of him. We're at a place now where we've talked to him for a month. And I know within our congregation, within our home, I can sense the presence of God in a different way. And there's been a change within the congregation of our heart condition as a whole. And you know what? It takes everyone. It takes everyone to turn to him, but together when we do it, it's incredible. And this is now we're at a place where we can say, Lord, you're just so good. It's so wonderful. We're looking forward to another year. In spite of all, bring on the bees. We won't be stopped. We're going to look forward to it. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to go through a few things here. Anybody have any thoughts? Questions? Comments? Anybody have any praise reports from the year that was? Or things that you're excited about in this year to come? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
She's got a new lease on life.
Yes.
Her whole life, she's been like 80 pounds. She's 108 pounds. She's
wow. Hallelujah. 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 Give the Lord, somebody's clapping, give the Lord a hand. Go right ahead. I want to encourage all of us, especially those here for the first time, you picked an absolutely incredible time to come tonight because you've come one year and you're leaving the next year. You've been here for a whole year. Spent a lot of time with us really quickly. But it's a wonderful time of making a fresh start, of making a fresh commitment. I'm going forward, I'm going deeper. And as a congregation, that's the direction we're headed. Going forward, going deeper. I've got a good friend of mine. I'm going to take just a minute or two to tell a story or two. You guys know Michael Grooms, who used to be part of our congregation, who's moved, and he called me, and he said, you know, the Lord wanted me to give you a message. And he was all nervous about it, and he said, okay, fine, what is it? First, he said, I'm just going to pray. And so it took a month or two before he told me. And he said, the Lord told me to tell you that he wants you to reconsider your walk with him. And I said, okay. That can mean a whole lot of things, but I knew what he meant. And the re part of it, because I've already considered it, he wanted you to reconsider it. This is where we all are today. We're all here because we love, we know Messiah, we love him, we want to get closer to the Father through him. But it's time to reconsider, time to recommit. And can I tell you guys a little secret, just a little secret? When you leave here in the next few days, you're going to get stung by bees because you've been here. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'll honeycoat it. I won't sugarcoat it. You can get stung. And the greatest challenge awaits you, whether or not what the Lord is doing in you right now, whether you'll let it grow with it or not. That's the greatest challenge. But the greatest pot of honey awaits you if you do. Amen? As a congregation, let me read this to you here. I've got it in my to talk about here. But we're as a congregation, we're looking forward to greater things in this coming year. There are some things as a congregation we want to do that we're working on doing. We want to get our Torah cabinet here. For those of you who don't know, we Adonai blesses with about 125 to 150-year-old Torah cabinet that was in a synagogue at the turn of the century in Baltimore. And through just his hand, we end up getting it from an Orthodox Jewish man in Brooklyn who bought it and made its way from Baltimore to Chicago. He bought it during COVID so that they can put it on the street on Shabbat because nobody could gather in the synagogues and so that a minyan, 10 Jewish men, could come out and pull the Torah out and pray on the streets of Brooklyn. So after COVID was over and he put it up for sale, I told him who I am, what I am, what we want to do with it as Messianics. And this is an Orthodox Jew in Brooklyn. And he said, we want to bless your shul with it, your congregation with it, and I want to sell it to you at a price that's cheaper than what I paid for it. So through the course of, it took a while to get it picked up in Brooklyn, a lot of, because of COVID, New York is just, companies are shut down. We finally found someone who brought it from Brooklyn to us. It almost made it here before Rabbi Shapiro was here in February, and the delivery driver, he makes all kinds of stops, so he was stuck. At the same time, our Torah cabinet was stuck in Dallas in this big ice storm. Rabbi Shapiro was stuck at the Dallas airport trying to get here for the meetings we had with him here. And so Rabbi Shapiro made it here, but the Torah cabinet didn't for another week or two. But I need to finish that, and I just need prayers to finish that, and I want to finish it. That's one of our big things we want to do for next year. Another thing we want to do is we want to, our Torah table here, we need to raise it up. Just some work. How many of you know that there's some projects you try and do and they're just hard to finally get done? They just sit there, when am I going to do it? We want to get crowns for our Torah, which our Torah is not out tonight, and a shield for it. And we want to build a bima, our platform here. So we've got some things we're looking forward to doing, some goals we have as a congregation. We also want to do more mitzvot. And I'm going to put someone on the spot. Joey, can you come over here for a second? Just come here for a second. I just want you, can you just tell the congregation really quick? We've been wanting to do a project as a congregation for a while, and Joanne is spearheading something that is in process. Just tell them where we are and just give them an idea of
What we're doing?
Yeah, absolutely.
We are working with a nonprofit organization, and it's called the Family Healing Center, and they're located on Chestnut and Millbrook. And what they do is they work with Fresno County, Tulare, Kerman, yes, Fresno, Clovis, and they actually house, they help children who have been taken out of their home for various reasons, whether it was sexual abuse or
just abuse,
the whole family issues, and they help them go through the process so they find a therapist to help the kids work through it. And then sometimes when situations arises and they have to pull the kids out of the home, they need to also have stuff for them. So like a stuffed animal, toiletries and things like that. So I've been in contact with the executive director on how we as a congregation can help them.
Yeah.
And right now we are trying to gather as much stuff for them as we possibly can. So we're gathering toiletries and blankets and used clothing, new clothing. And now that it's getting cold, they're looking for blankets and mittens different things like that. So they're really looking forward to us. And they're also having, because of their funding, they don't get a whole lot of funding and they're not really well known right now. Mm-hmm. And so they are trying to fundraise, and they're having a dinner in April to a silent auction and a fundraiser to raise money, because a lot of people that works for them, the therapists, they are not all getting paid through the county, so they're trying to raise money to help supplement some of that money as well. So we're one of the communities that's going to be trying to help them out a little bit. So
So thank you for doing that. I want to give her a hand for doing that. Thank you. It's a lot of, this kind of thing sounds like it's easy to do, but it's a lot of work and it's a lot of time. And coming into this new year, we want to do more mitzvot, and we want to at least take our first set of things over there before the end of the holy days. So that's our goal. We've run into some roadblocks and challenges, but we're going to get there. But for next year, we want to do more of that. Amen. And to all of our people here and visitors, you know, we want to continue to train more people and to have more people serving and being able to serving Adonai in a congregational setting is a wonderful thing. It's a scary thing, too. But if you're not willing to walk through the scared part, then you never get to the honey. So as we come into this new year, I pray that we would all see that and recognize, you know what, it's our chance to be able to take that next step. And so with that, I want to pray the Aaronic blessing. And any thoughts anyone has? You guys have any thoughts on anything? Yeah. Yes. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. Hallelujah. 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 You recognize how much of a blessing that is. Yeah, yeah. I think everyone here can just sense the presence of God and the peace of God. Yeah, yeah. And you know, the thing about it is that we've been talking a lot about these last Torah portions about blessings and about cursing. And we talked about, where do the blessings come? From keeping Torah, from doing what he says to do. And where do the curses come from? Not doing the blessings, not keeping Torah. So you see, we have a part to play in it. Was it Sally? Father, thank you for Sally, for blessing her, protecting, loving her, Father. And thank you for raising her up off of that bed of death, oh God, and giving her new life, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that she would choose to go all out to serve you, God, to continue to walk in peace and live in peace with you, Lord, to see better days, oh God, to see better days and be the grandma, be the mother, Father, in her family, oh God, you've called her to be. Lord, I thank you on this New Year's Day, Lord, that we turn to you. She's turning to you, oh God, and you're dealing with her right now, even, Lord, to turn to you and call upon you. So together, just repeat after me. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for sending Messiah Yeshua to die for us, oh God, for giving us a reason to live, for giving us a life that's full of you, basically, Father. A life that's full of you, Father. A life that's full of peace, oh God. A life that's full of joy. And a life that's worth living. So even right now, we call you Yeshua. And we ask you to come into our lives afresh. We give our lives to you. We ask you to forgive us and cleanse us, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, for not giving up on us, Lord, but receiving us, oh God. And we thank you for walking through this new year with us. We thank you for all of this in Yeshua's name, Lord. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.
One of the uses of honey, besides being a natural sweetener, it's used as an anti-inflammatory, an antioxidant, and an antibacterial agent. People would use it not only to treat coughs, but topically to treat burns and promote wound healing. So during the year when we get stung by the bees, apply it.
Apply it, yeah. And look at that honey. So you think about apples and honey, you think about healing coming and protection coming. The sweetness of the new year and a new start coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.